assuming the best of each other. Difficult because we're all human. And oftentimes the stuff of our human existence comes between us and seeing clearly the true image of God in others. And so today we discuss the necessity to assume the best of ourselves, to be able to truly set aside all of the things that the world may be trying to communicate to us and instead assume the very best of who we are, who God has made us to be, and the work that God has for us to do. We need to do this journey together well. And if we don't, we become mired down in the negative stuff. Let me just try these out for size and see if they may fit. The world assaults us with negative thinking, with things like, you're just not enough. Or, you're too. Or, you can't. And those become what we think about ourselves sometimes. How we bound our own thinking about ourselves, how we limit the possibilities that God has by believing what the world may tell us. I know that happens in my life. Perhaps it happens in yours as well. Clearly, we need to become more like Christ and less like what the world says we need to be. And today, and every Sunday, and hopefully every day, as we encounter Christ, we learn a little bit more about who we are and who God needs us to be. In the readings today, we find faith talked about in many ways. There's a whole lot that's buried within this text. And I want to give a little bit of context by looking forward and looking after what we heard read today. The disciples, well, maybe we should talk a little bit about some terms. Jesus called 12 to him that answered. Now, this is important because we don't know how many Jesus called, do we? We just know about the 12 that laid down everything they were doing, left family and kin, and followed him. He may have invited 100 people, 150 people. But we know the ones who responded, I will follow. So, disciple includes two parts. The first is the calling that takes place, and the second is the agreement to follow. To be a disciple, you need both parts of this. But as Vicki pointed out so beautifully this morning, Jesus didn't call them disciples in today's lesson. He called them apostles. Apostles. Apostles comes from a Greek word, apostolos, which means messenger, one who is sent with a message. And so we see that the disciples have moved from being those who were called and followed to those who have been equipped and sent to give a message. And if we read a little bit before this text in Mark, we find that in fact he had sent the 12 out in pairs into towns, entering them with nothing more than their staff and the clothes on their back, trusting that there would be those with ears to hear who would welcome them into their homes and take care of them as they shared the good news, which brings wholeness and healing through God in Christ. And they were to stay there as long as people would listen to the message. But if they arrived at a town or encountered people who had closed ears, then they were just to shake the dust off their sandals and go somewhere else. Not waste their time there, but go find ears to hear. And they did this. We don't know how long they were doing this work, but we do know from the scripture today that when they came back to Jesus, they were full of stories about what had happened to them and what they had encountered. And Jesus looked upon them and saw exhaustion. Exhaustion. They had truly emptied themselves out in giving this message to those they encountered. And they came back and they needed to be refreshed. They needed to be renewed. And so Jesus says, okay, let's go away for a while. Let's go to a quiet place where after this engagement that you've been in, such intense leaning in to people and trying to help them see what the good news was, now you need to lean back a bit. You need to make some space. You need to refresh and renew. And you have to make a place for the Holy Spirit to come in and work and be able to do God's work as a follow-up to the message that you have brought. And so the disciples get in the boat and off they go. And we find that this idea of being in pairs, in partnership, has worked. We know it's worked because the scripture says today, the crowd saw them moving and leaving, and they ran ahead to where the disciples and Jesus were going. As I read this, it really brings a question up in my mind. When's the last time something moved you so much that you got up and you walked miles just to be there so you could get some more of it? What's the last time that you were that moved, that hungry, that much in need, feeling that empty, that you needed to be filled, and you gave up everything to go? The disciples were making more disciples who were willing to hear that call of the good news and then get up and follow wherever it led them. And as they arrive at this place where they were going to be refreshed and renewed, Jesus sees the throngs that are coming, and he had compassion on them. And he realized that they needed to be fed, and so he taught them. But then, and this is the part of the story that comes after this, as the evening came, the disciples said, need to send them home. Need to send them home. And Jesus saw, no, they've been here all day. They came and they listened, and now we must feed them. And so he looked at the disciples. Jesse and I were talking about this after the 8 o'clock service. And Jesus said, you feed them. You feed. And I imagine they were looking at him like, Master, you are nuts. There are 5,000 men out here. Now, in Greek, we need to understand that when it gave numbers, they're counting the men. So the women and the children that were also part of this group weren't included in that 5,000. So let's double it. 10,000 people were hungry. And so they took stock, and what they came up with was a few loaves and a few fish. And Jesus told his followers, go feed them. Now, you and I probably would get instructions like that and say, I don't have the resources. We don't have the mechanism to do all this. We would come up with 5,000 reasons why not to feed them. Right? And yet when they began that work, God blessed that work, and they fed everyone that was there with leftovers. And they learned that we limit ourselves. We let our negative thinking give us boundaries on what God can do. And instead, what we need to do is open ourselves to the possibilities that God can have in store. See, that's the miracle. The miracle is we would have said, heck no, but God said, oh yes. And they had to believe enough to make that happen. They had to get rid of these negative thoughts that the world says you can't. You're not enough. You're too. And they had to say, in God and through Christ Jesus, all things are possible. This goes to show that not only teaching or bringing the message of good news is required, we have to really believe it too. We have to believe it, we have to bring it into our life, we have to live it, and we have to trust that God is already at work and is going to use us in powerful ways that we cannot yet see. We've got to engage in this work. But remember, too, that we can spend all of ourselves in it, and at times we need to disengage. We have to refresh and renew. And as we are refreshing and renewing, making room for the Holy Spirit to do the work of God where we may have plowed. What we need to do is we need to bring our best. We need to bring our best to our life. We need to be fully present. We need to trust in powers greater than ourselves, and that power is Christ Jesus. And we need to learn not to limit ourselves based upon our negative thinking. When we do that, we will bring not only our best, but the best that God can make of us to others in ministry as well. So as we go into this next week, I had a conversation with someone this week who said, "You all like spiritual homework. Is that true?" I need to ask, seriously, do you like spiritual homework or not? I'm getting kind of a yeah, and I'm getting kind of a, I don't know. Well, let's try it out. And we'll come back next week and we'll figure out together if this is something we want to keep doing, okay? So here's your spiritual homework this week. There is going to be a moment where you are going to encounter a negative thought about yourself. You are going to encounter yourself repeating what society may tell you, that you're not enough, you're too much of that. I want you to stop in that moment, and I want you to tell yourself, in God, I am enough. Through Christ, I have all I need. And I want you to take that negative thought and flip it. And then I want you to see what God is going to do with it. How God will use that in you to do something mighty in the world this week. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Okay. I look forward to hearing back from you, seriously, about how this little exercise went with you. And I encourage you to share it with one another as well, as we learn to travel together by assuming the best of ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. As we saw with Brooke's baptism today, God is blessing us in so many ways, and new lives are being turned over.